on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, Shay here on Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 36. First, Music History Boiled Down for April 13th. Rage Against the Machine appeared on NBC's Saturday Night Live. Their two-song performance was cut to one when the band attempted to hang inverted American flags from their amplifiers. Today, hailing from New Brunswick, Canada, Lisa Richard, she is a talented country singer-songwriter. She blows away listeners with her powerful voice and soulful performances, bringing together the sounds of rock, blues, and country. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining our show today. Very interested in your music. You have powerful vocals. Absolutely powerhouse.
Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate that.
So how would you describe your sound? Because it's rock, blues, country.
That's a great way to describe it, actually, because I grew up with all kinds of music. I mean, my parents were certainly into the traditional country side of things. Everything from Charlie Pride to Dolly Parton and Waylon Jennings, everything in between, Johnny Cash. But I had two older brothers who loved rock and roll. So I also,
That's how I got into rock and roll.
Exactly. So my brothers were into everything from AC/DC to Ozzy, Metallica, all this stuff, right? So I just love that as well. So I felt, singing songs with different backgrounds and genres, I think really helped to shape the sound that I have today. So I do have a hard time to pigeonhole myself sometimes when people ask, well, what do you sound like? So I've had people say that I sound like Wynonna Judd. I've had people say I sound like Cher. That's a common one. That strong female voice, right?
Yeah. To me, do you want to know what I think you sound like?
Oh, please. I'd love to hear it.
You remind me of Janis Joplin.
Bless your heart. I have heard that from a few people as well. I certainly don't claim to have her voice either, but, she's another icon that I try to emulate a little bit when I do Bobby McGee. I know it's not her song per se, but she does a version of that song that, wow, when I heard that back in university, I just always wanted to try and sing it similar to her. So I do my best with that cover.
Yeah. So that's what I said. She's my favorite female vocalist. Yeah. And the song that we're going to hear today, Just Some Things, honestly, I'm a follower of her. I heard a bit of Reba McEntire in it too.
Oh, well, that's a first. Now, I haven't had anybody tell me that. So that's always good to hear because she is definitely a country icon as well.
Yeah. But ultimately, your sound is incredibly unique because you can't pin yourself. You can't pin your music down. Very impressed. You did a cover with Vince Gill of Jolene. Can you talk about that experience?
That was an experience that happened in 2018. And I swear, whenever I talk about it, it's like it just happened yesterday because that was definitely one of the most special moments in my music career to share the stage with not only Vince Gill, but the Time Jumpers, who are multi Grammy Award winners as well. All of these people are just amazing. And so I wasn't sure if that was actually going to happen on one of my trips to Nashville. I've been going down there, spending a lot of time down there, but they did ask me to come up and they gave me a chance to get on stage with them, and they asked me what song I wanted to sing. And the first one that came to mind was Jolene. And these guys are awesome. They were such kidders because I just met them all for the first time, and they all looked at each other and just went silent in the back room. And I thought I said something wrong. I'm like, oh dear, maybe I should have picked an actual Vince Gill song. But I wanted to pick a female country artist. So I asked for Jolene, and they all looked at me and said they didn't know the song.
Now, what?
Oh yeah. They let me stand there for at least, it felt like an hour, but Shay, but it really, it probably was about 10 or 15 seconds. They just wanted to see me sweat for a little bit because my face just went, you know, into the dumpsters. Cause I was like, what? Oh my gosh, they don't know Jolene. Now,
who doesn't know Jolene?
Well, exactly. And I mean, I know exactly, Vince Gill and Dolly Parton know each other quite well. So, but what I didn't know is that I was actually standing underneath a picture of Dolly Parton in the green room. I didn't know, right?
Wow.
So here I was, and they're asking me what song I want to sing, and Dolly's picture is right above me. And I have pictures of this because it's such a funny story now. They all kind of, you know, were making a joke about it, but yeah, then they said, oh no, we're just kidding. We know that song. What key do you want to sing it in? So I got the idea right away. These guys are kidders. They're awesome. So I said, okay, I'm going to get them back for that one. Or I thought I would anyway. So I said, I know there's no solo in Jolene, but I'd love to hear a solo during the song. And they all looked at me, okay, what do you want to hear? I said, well, I'd love to hear some Paul Franklin on the steel guitar. Now, most people probably would have just expected me to say, I want to hear Vince Gill solo. Who wouldn't want to hear Vince Gill solo? But like I said, they were all kidders, and I really felt like I was going to try and get them back. And they got me on stage. And not only did Vince Gill do a solo, Paul Franklin did a solo. Andy also did a solo. So there was three solos on stage. They had me on stage for almost 7 minutes. So it was just, it was an amazing experience. I didn't want to get off the stage after that, of course. And I've been back on stage with them 4 times since. And not always, Vince Gill is not always there. He's actually with the Eagles now. So he wasn't always present.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's taken that position with the Eagles now officially. So it's a great part of their band to have him part of it, I think, you know, to try to find that sound, right, that they'd be missing. So I can't wait to see them live someday. But I had an amazing experience with them. I didn't want it to end. And it led to me being able to go back several times after that. So it's been great.
Well, that's amazing. So your debut EP, Tangled Up, which came out in January 2017, had tremendous radio play across Canada, US, and New Zealand, and the UK. You also garnered up numerous industry nominations, Southern Rock Song of the Year, Female Artist of the Year, Outlaw Country Song of the Year, which I thought was real cool.
I love the Outlaw Artist of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fits me well.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that album?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the creative process in doing it and what the tracks are from the album. And
yeah, like I've been writing things and songs and stories and, you know, since I was a kid, like a lot of people that get started when they're kids, but I never thought I would share them with people per se. And certainly never thought of doing it as a career. It was just a hobby at the time. And you know, that's what my parents thought it was, is just a hobby. So I went away to school and continued on my career path. But I always kept writing and performing. But again, just it's a hobby. I love doing it. By the time I decided to actually put my own EP out. It was around the time that my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And I just said, you know what? Life's too short.
Mm.
And I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to go to Nashville, but I wanted to create something here in Nova Scotia. And I didn't have much of a budget. It was a very low budget EP. But, you know, we did the very, very best we could with the budget that I had. And it was more of an acoustic EP. And it was actually going to be a demo. I wasn't even going to put it out and master it. I just wanted to have some of my songs recorded and to have a demo to use if I was to go to Nashville, maybe. But once we started, and we start to get into the creative process, my producer at the time and the studio engineer both sort of talked me into mastering it and said it was more than just a demo to them. They felt it had more substance than just putting it out as a demo. Do it, master it. This is, you know, they enjoyed it. So I took the plunge and decided to not just keep it for myself as a demo or maybe share it with a few venues or, you know, people that might be interested. I decided to go all the way and master it and get a bunch of copies made. And I wanted to have a CD release party. I've never done that before. And from what I'm told, that, you know, doing it the first time, like it is hard, right? I mean, to try to get your name out there the first time and to try to get a buzz going about, you know, what you're doing. Cause I've never really told anybody I was doing this. I was really incognito for a long time, just keeping it to myself. But now the cat's kind of out of the bag, obviously, so many years later. So the first CD release party that I had was shocking for me. I had well over 200 people show up, people that couldn't even get through the door because there was no more place to sit where we had the venue. They ran out of space. There was no more parking space. I was flabbergasted. I had no idea that people would show up for the first time because nobody even really knew what style of music it was going to be. But I had a lot of support here in Halifax. And I guess singing all those other venues, you know, doing cover songs and trying to get my name out that way helped because people actually came to see what type of original music I was going to do. So I was really, really happy with that. And we had some sales for that release party. So the name of the album, Tangled Up, that just spoke to me, that the title spoke to me, and I wanted to write a song about relationships and how tangled up they can get. And I had some friends, including myself, going through a bunch of different things, you know, relationships not working out, relationships, you know, starting up, and just very tangled up stuff. And that's what I wrote that first one about. It was about relationships. And there's some pretty strong words in that song. So there's a little bit of personal experience in that one, but it was also because of some of my friends and stuff they were dealing with at the time. So that was the song that was nominated for Southern Rock Song of the Year. Yeah, that was the one.
It was Tangled Up.
Yeah, that was Tangled Up. Now, the full EP itself was nominated for Music Nova Scotia Country Album of the Year. So that, again, I would have never suspected. I never thought that I would enter these things into categories to be nominated for anything. I really, really didn't. But people were supporting me to do these things. So I just kind of pulled the Band-Aid off and I just threw it out there just to see what would happen. And I got a really good response with that first EP, there's no doubt. And I really want to thank everybody that helped me and supported me and gave me some courage to do it. Because I probably wouldn't have if I hadn't had a lot of really good supportive people around me. I didn't do it by myself, that's for sure. Absolutely not.
That's an awesome story. But that album also had earned a nomination for Country Artist of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, so in the US, I was nominated for two different independent awards down there, and one was for Country Artist of the Year, Female Country Artist of the Year, and another one was for the Outlaw Country Artist of the Year. And I think the Tangled Up song kind of probably brought the outlaw part of it out because it's there's definitely some rock to that song, and maybe even a little bit of blues tone in there and on this country album. So yeah, I don't think they knew quite where to pigeonhole that particular song. The rest of the songs definitely fit in more to a country genre, but that song is a little bit more edgy, shall we say, because of what I was writing about. I mean, the tangled up relationship stuff was just, it was edgy. So that's what came out, the edginess.
That's just awesome. That's great. It did very well for a debut album, but you know
Yeah,
that.
well, I'm sure, well, I know that even more now. Like I didn't honestly, you know what, being naive at the time, I did it, but I really didn't get the concept of how hard it is to get that much success for your first EP until
Yeah,
I
try
met with
not.
other artists or other industry people. They're all telling me too, like, you did really well for the first time. And I'm like, wow, okay. So maybe I should do another one, right? Which eventually the story of Nashville begins because that EP came out in 2017, in January. And I believe my first trip to Nashville would have been that summer. And so the story starts with my second album that I'm working on.
Yes, and we're going to listen to a track from was Uniforms part of that?
Uniforms is part of that. My second album is still in the works. It should have been done last year, but because of COVID, it really, the process had been slowed down quite a bit. So I'm hoping to get it done for 2021.
Oh, everybody has that. Everybody has that. Are you willing to share the personal story behind uniforms?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That song was probably the hardest song I've ever written so far, because it's a very grateful song, but it brought up a lot of emotions for me, both good and bad. But again, getting back to my dad, being diagnosed with cancer, I wanted to get to Nashville because I'd never done that, and just convinced myself that yes, life is too short. When am I going to go? If I don't go now, when am I going to go? My dad's life is going to get very complicated while he fights cancer. Time is precious, so I got to go now. So that's what I decided to do. And this song, when I went down there to write with some people that I met down there, I told them I wanted to write a song that thanked the people that saved my life when I was a kid. When I was driving home with some friends from university in Fredericton, New Brunswick, I live in Halifax now, but at the time I was going to UNB. We were driving home. It was probably around 10 o'clock at night, and we were in a very dark area, no street lights, in the middle of the woods, trying to get from, point A to point B, no houses around, no cell service back then. And crossing the road, which we couldn't see, was a moose, and we didn't know until we hit it. And now I don't remember hitting it. I don't remember anything else from this point on of the story. Everything I tell you from this point forward is what other people have been able to fill in the blanks, right? For me. So apparently, at the time, what I was told is the moose sort of fell on my side of the vehicle because I was sitting in the front passenger side. And so the moose crushed the car in around me. The other kids that were in the car got out of the car without a scratch. They did not need a stitch. They didn't even need a band-aid. I mean, it is an absolute miracle that nobody got killed in that accident. However,
That is a miracle.
at the time, the kids thought that I had died because I was crushed in the car, not moving and not they didn't think I was breathing. So they got out of the car and ran to try and find help. And they were crying and screaming because they thought I had died. They thought I had already passed. Now, I, of course, I don't remember any of this. This is just what they told me afterwards. So I woke up a few days later and in a hospital. I'd been to two different hospitals. And so they're trying to fill in the blanks. Apparently a paramedic eventually stopped and a police officer eventually stopped and helped save my life that night. So I'm very, very fortunate to be here because most people that hit a moose that fast, I mean, we were probably going 100 to 120 kilometers an hour with a small little car, right? Not many people will survive that. I mean, these moose are huge. So very, very fortunate to be here. So I was telling this to my friends that I was writing a song with in Nashville and I just started crying. I mean, I was just so grateful to have so many people believe in me then, believing in me now. How can I not give back and write a song to thank everybody? Not even just the people that night, which was really the most significant, but everybody that was into my life that's helped me along the way. So that's what, you know, we started talking about different things, how I went to the Canada Games for cycling and I had different teachers in my life. And we just started getting into all these different stories of people I wanted to thank. So that's how Uniforms got created, because it was certainly life-changing that I had people save me that night. But there's been people helping me all along the way. I've not done any of this by myself. And I wouldn't want to do any of this all by myself. I love working with people and I just wanted to thank them. So we write the song and I get it recorded and I decided to release it as a single. And it did very, very well. It got placed on Sirius XM Radio, CBC Country. And again, a number of other stations, Canada and the US and Europe and Australia, New Zealand. And so it did well, again, for my first single going out on my second album. But what I didn't expect was to get invited to Grand Ole Opry Radio. And because they heard the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from the radio show host to be a guest on her show, Devin O'Day. And I had not known her at the time. I was flabbergasted that she was reaching out to me. She had me come in and tell my story, just like I'm telling you right now. But what she said to me was, have you ever told the people that you wrote this song about them? Did you reach out and actually tell these individual people, the police officer, the paramedic? And I didn't. And I said, my gosh, it was so long ago. I don't even know how I would find them. So that sparked the next part of this story. Because as much as I was getting airplay, the most important people that I wrote it for didn't even know that I wrote it for them. Right? So I was like, okay, I have to back this up here. I mean, it's a feel-good song. I want everybody that wears a uniform or doesn't wear a uniform to get the feels from all this song, because it is for them, you know, from crossing guards to teachers to everybody in between, people that fight for our country. I was just feeling really grateful writing that song, but I didn't actually tell the story to the people that saved my life that night. So what happened from there was quite extraordinary. I ended up being on CTV News several times, CBC News, different radio stations, everyone trying to help me find these people that saved my life that night. Because we all wanted to know who they were, right? Yeah. We wanted to know who these people were and if they were still around. We tried calling the RCMP detachment. We tried talking to the provincial ambulance service. There was no record of the name of these people. They had, I went to Ross, to the hospital to get my hospital records. We tried everything. And, you know, being on the news here, CTV News, I mean, it went on for months trying to find these people, because it was really because of them I wrote this song, and it's getting a lot of attention, and it got me on Grand Ole Opry Radio, which was amazing. So months went by, still didn't find these people. until I actually was doing a show at the casino in Moncton, New Brunswick. And I had a lady come up to me and said, I saw your show, your news. I saw your story on the news, and I know who you're looking for. I couldn't believe it. It just happened just like that. Here we were looking for all these documents, asking all these different people. I had phone calls out everywhere. And it was just somebody who saw the news show on CTV. They knew who was there that night, but it wasn't a police officer and it wasn't a paramedic that was initially on the scene. That's the other part of the story that nobody knew, that I didn't even know.
Wow.
It was a completely different person. It was a student at the time, also going home from UNB. I never was told this part of the story, but there was this student that stopped. He recognized some of the kids on the side of the road. He asked what was going on, and he ran to the car because they said, well, she's crushed in the car and we think she's dead. He ran to the car to make sure what was actually going on. And he realized I was still breathing, and he held my head and neck and kept me mumbling in my, you know, I was out. I was not conscious at this time at all, but he kept talking to me not to let me stop breathing and to try and keep me somewhat conscious for almost an hour before the paramedics and the RCMP got there.
Wow, I got chills.
Well, and I didn't know this for like decades, like, you know, two decades later. So, but here's the other amazing part of that story. When I finally met him and I found out who he was, after that happened to him, he became a paramedic after that. He was a business student. He changed his whole career after that night because it had such a significant, you know, impact on him.
Wow.
He became a paramedic, but he didn't stop there. He then became an RCMP officer. So it's actually Constable Lloyd Harquill. So as much as I wrote that song, I got goosebumps right now just telling the story, and I've told it 50 times, but I get goosebumps every time I tell this. He not only, you know, had his life changed that night, but he went on to become an RCMP officer, which he said he always wanted to do since he was a kid and never thought he would, but his life was changed that night. We've since met. He didn't know that I didn't know that he was there. He had no idea that I was looking for him. He didn't know. So we've met, and this was a few years ago now that we've met. He's been to several of my shows now. He's like a brother I never had. Like, I have two older brothers. He's my third brother now. And he just supports me 110%. He's always, you know, liking my stuff on Instagram, and he comes to my shows. And yeah, we are now connected. Like, I can't even explain it now. He's definitely my guardian angel that night, because I definitely would have probably been left in the car to die because they thought I was already dead, and they were going, the kids were going to get help. Right. So it's not their fault. They didn't see me respond, and I wasn't moving. And, you know, we were like 18 years old. We didn't know anything about anything, right. About trying to help in a situation like that. I would have did the same thing. I would have ran crying too. So I don't blame them at all, but thank God, you know, this person shows up out of the blue on his way home, and he's there now because he became a paramedic and an RCMP officer and stationed in New Brunswick. He has seen many deer and moose accidents since that time. And what he also told me when we finally met, which I broke into tears, was that he never saw anybody survive that severe of a crash. He's never seen it. He said, Lisa, you are here for a reason, because I'm telling you right now, there's no way that you should have survived that. And he said, even when they finally got you out of the car and they took you away in the ambulance, he said, I was pretty sure I was going to get the call that you didn't make it, because I've never seen anybody survive.
Wow. That's a wonderful story. Touching. Oh, wow. Sorry, you got to me, hon.
It's
a beautiful story. Well, we're going to take it for a spin and then come back and talk more about it, okay?
Thank you so much.
So Uniforms is next, released June of 2018.
Spent 30 years in Boston behind a badge. Went 4 years overseas in a 100-pound backpack. She wears scrubs and what she does can save you taking your last breath. He climbs a ladder to a burning building. He's always there in case you need kneeling. They all sign up just because they're willing, not knowing what's near. So here's to those who chose to lead the charge. They won't even tell you who they are. Been doing it since the day I was born. Yeah, heroes come in different uniforms. Help you cross the street to get to school. She taught me how to read the golden rules. And I won't forget, he didn't quit, but tried to get the best out of me. So here's to those who chose to lead the charge. Different uniforms. And I love every moment that I had. Get to spend with my mom and dad. They've been loving me since the day I was born. Yeah, heroes come in different uniforms. Yeah, heroes come in different uniforms.
Wow. Honestly, you're probably the first guest that's ever got me speechless. I don't know what to say. I mean, that's an absolutely wonderful spiritual story. It's like, it's insane.
I can't even, you know, it's like, you hear that phrase, I can't even make this stuff up, because it's the true story, and it just keeps evolving. I've been on Grand Ole Opry Radio 4 times since. They've had me on as a guest for an hour. I've hosted my own show for a whole afternoon with her. Like, it's just been amazing how I've been welcomed into their family down there. And, but now, yes, we're being kept apart because of COVID, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's cool. So how long was your recovery?
I actually, I was told not to go back to school that year because I was in physical education, sports science program, which obviously was a physical, you know, we had sports that we had to take part of. So I was told not to go back to school because I had suffered quite a severe concussion, obviously. I was in a coma for a couple of days. So they wanted me to not go back to school at all and to stay home. I stayed in the hospital not very long, maybe a week. I had a lot of surgery, facial surgery. They sent me home, and then I was just to follow up. I had surgeries for probably 3-4 years after that, like reconstruction and different things, right? So, I didn't actually stay in the hospital very long. I miraculously didn't have anything broken. I was just lacerated and cut up. And yeah, my face was squished and I was pretty messed up, but I had nothing broken, which is amazing. And I believe the only reason that, and this is actually part of the story that I forgot to tell, music saved my life twice that night, because, there was a cassette tape And I believe it was the Tragically Hip Road Apples that hit the floor and I needed to pick it up. And so I was bent forward, picking up that tape off the floor. And that's when we hit the moose. Had I been sitting up, I would have been decapitated. My head would have been crushed for sure. I would not be here. So because that tape hit the floor for whatever reason, at that very moment that we struck the moose, I was bent forward. So the dash sort of saved my head to some degree. But yeah, the windshield, everything was smashed all around my face. So
To me, that's divine intervention.
It's definitely something, whether you believe in God or the universe or spirits, something. It wasn't my time. It wasn't my time.
Yeah. Awesome. And you're doing great things.
I'm doing my best, and I've been so grateful ever since. And I always go back to that. Like, I have to do something to help people. I have to give back. Cause I wasn't even supposed to be here, but I'm here. So I better do something to pay back that I'm here. And I have my bad days too, but I always come back to I'm not wasting not one second without trying to do something better, to make the world a little better, make somebody else's life a little better. That's what it's all about. One person at a time. If I can help, I will.
Yeah, 100%. And your music's definitely inspiring a lot of people. Thank you for sharing that story. I know it's probably hard to revisit it. We're going to listen to the next track, Just Some Things. It released in September 2019. I love it. That's where I heard a bit of Reba. It was more that it's a little bit of a twang. Still outstanding. Your vocals have a large range. Like, they're a very...
There's definitely some diversity maybe in there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a lot of diversity. It's not... sometimes with country, an artist, it's like... different songs, but there's the same feel, the same energy. I don't get that when I listen to your music. Each song is completely a different experience. So that's what I love about your music.
Oh, thank you. And it certainly isn't something that, I'm consciously doing, to be quite honest. I never start out with, okay, this has got to be completely different than the other song. I really don't. It's just something that I feel at the time, something that I'm going through at the time. And yeah, it's going to sound different every time I do a different song. And now that I've got a whole bunch of demos that I'm working on right now, you're absolutely right. There's not one that really matches the other at all, which gives the producer some challenges to deal with. But they're good challenges. And I look forward to getting that second album out. That song, Just Some Things, was actually the very first song that I wrote when I went to Nashville. And there's a little story behind that too, because it almost didn't happen.
Okay.
I went to meet my good friend, Rick Tiger. And it started out with him saying, why don't we meet for coffee the next time you're going to take a trip to Nashville? And I said, I'd love to do that and have a cup of coffee. Well, we never had a cup of coffee. We did, but it was all about writing a song. And I didn't know that's what was going to happen. But, hindsight. Now, of course, he's a professional songwriter. That's exactly what he's doing. but when I went to Nashville this time and he gave me the address to meet him on Music Row in Nashville, I took the address and decided to go and check out the address the day before to make sure that I had the right address. Because when I went to check the address, I was quite sure he gave me the wrong address. This building was, to me at the time, coming from this small little fishing village in New Brunswick, and I have lived in Toronto too, so I've seen big buildings, but my gosh, this one kind of blew me away. It sort of looked like Mount Olympus. I mean, these great big pillars outside. I'm like, where are we going to meet? And this was ASCAP. So that's the, right, the American version of SOCAN, basically. And
yeah,
so he had booked a room there for us to write. Well, I got to tell you, I'm going to be quite honest. I've told this story, so I'm getting over it every time I tell it, because I almost didn't go. I was really almost nauseous, sick, and made myself sick, because I was so nervous to walk through those doors. I was like, what am I doing here? This is Music Row in Nashville. I'm going into this Mecca building to go and write. What am I doing? And I almost, for 24 hours, I went back and forth. I'm going to tell him I'm sick, because I really am. I really made myself sick. I almost didn't go.
Oh, wow.
So I finally get out of my own way, and I'm like, okay, Lisa, if you don't go, you'll never know what's on the other side of that door. So I go, I am scared to death. I open the doors, and here is this wonderful human being on the other side with a smile on. Thank goodness Rick Tiger was there to meet me. And I was so happy to see him. He introduced me to everybody there, and he was introducing me as, you know, Canadian recording artist, Canadian singer-songwriter, you know, this amazing singer-songwriter. And I'm looking around to see who he's talking about, because I'm like, what? I'm in ASCAP, and you're introducing me to all these people that have done so much, right? So it was, it was a bit daunting. But we went upstairs, and he closed the door, and we're in a writing room. Now, this is the first time I'm doing something like this on that kind of a level. And I'm just like, where do we go from here? He's like, well, what do you want to write? And I said, Rick, I got a confession to make. I've never written a song like this before. And I didn't know what he was going to say. And he's like, all right, then. Well, what do you want to write? It just didn't fizz him at all. He didn't care. He just wanted to get started, right? Like, he's like, that's all right. That's why I'm here. So we started writing, and we actually finished a song in less than 3 hours, which I didn't know was good, bad. I had no idea. And he told me afterwards, he said, you know, I've been writing a long time. He's been doing this for over 30 years. He's got hits with Montgomery Gentry and Crystal Shawanda. Gosh, I can't forget all the names. He's got a list of names that he's written for. And he says, you know, I've never written a song and had it finished that fast. Like, that was I was like, oh. And I didn't know, you know what? Some songs might take days, weeks, months, maybe even. Sometimes they just come to you, and that's what I'm finding in the process. I have some songs, my gosh, I've been picking away at them for so long, but some songs, oh my gosh, the whole thing comes to you almost at once. So it's a little different process every time. This particular song, Just Some Things, was certainly a personal situation at the time, and I just wanted to write a little bit about that and share it with people. Just Some Things.
Thank you. We're going to listen to it right now.
Deep inside it's real. You can't find the answer you've been looking for. You can only find yourself on the wrong side of the door. It ain't right, well, it ain't wrong, well, it ain't weak, it ain't strong, well, it ain't. It ain't gone. It's just tell me what's good, and I say goodbye. I kinda wish you were there, so you and I. It ain't right. Well, it ain't wrong. Well, it ain't weak. It ain't strong. It ain't here. It ain't gone. It's just some things that don't.
Well, you two, the collaboration you did with him was awesome. It's a great track.
Yeah, that was definitely my first song that I wrote in Nashville for the first time, and one I won't forget because of the story that goes behind going to write it. Oh, it almost didn't happen, but I'm so glad that I did, because I've written a number of songs with Rick Tiger, and also Jeff Wunnix is someone else that collaborates with us as well. And it's been great working with both of them. And I've written with other people as well. I've written with Devin O'Day. I've actually written with Ranger Doug from the Time Jumpers as well. And so just trying to get some, you know, different perspective on writing. And everybody is a little bit different with how they do it. So it's been helping me a lot.
100%. And in April, you come out with a song called Together. Was that a collaboration with another artist?
So Together was actually written again in Nashville with Rick Tiger and Jeff Wunnix. It was written not 2020, but it would have been the fall of 2019. And I was really traveling a lot in 2019. I mean, I was in Budapest, I was in Greece, I was in Italy, number of places in the US, and getting to perform and sing has been just a joy. So when I came back to Nashville to meet with them to write again, I said, you know, I just love being around people, and I don't care what country I'm in. I always feel like I'm with family. I've met amazing people everywhere I've gone. I've always gotten help. People have always been friendly and kind, and I just love being together with people. It's great, even though most of the time I do travel by myself. So that's how the song got started. Like, well, sounds like we're going to write something about being together, and that's where it started. Now, I didn't know it was going to be so timely in 2020 with COVID, and here we are 2021 still dealing with it. But that's why my producer Jason Berry, I think that's part of the reason he gravitated to that particular song to release. Yeah. Because my gosh, we need a feel good song, and just to bring people together, and that's what this song is all about.
Oh, 100%. I look forward to hearing it. But off topic, you're from the East, right?
I sure am. New Mills, New Brunswick.
Yeah. You know what? Both on a personal and professional level, I find that people from New Brunswick and Halifax, Nova Scotia, whatever. I spent some time out there as well. They have the biggest hearts in all of Canada.
Oh, well, you know, right. What? I think everybody has a big heart. I think we just help maybe bring it out in people.
Yeah, you do. You do. One of my very best friends was from New Brunswick, Dwayne. And I don't know. I just, when you're talking about being with people and it doesn't matter where you are. Honestly, it is a mark of a lot of people out east. You feel at home. The minute you go into any store, any shop, any restaurant, any pub, you feel like you're with the locals.
We are trying to make everybody feel at home and make them feel like their family. I mean, that's the way I've done everything all my life. Treat people like they're your family and you'll probably get treated the same.
Well, I thought I'd do a shout out because when it opens up, visit New Brunswick. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't even go home to New Brunswick. I'm actually, our border is shut down between New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. So I can't even go home. I haven't seen my family up there for over a year now.
I didn't know that.
No Christmas, no nothing. I have no family here in Nova Scotia. I have a lot of friends here. Don't get me wrong, but none of my family is here. So I'm waiting to go home and get some lobster from up home and all the good fish that happens up there too.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get there this year. And while I'm getting this album finished this year too, that's the other hope that I have.
Yeah. When I was in New Brunswick, I spent time in Hampton.
Okay. Yeah. That's near St. John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful place.
Yeah. It was beautiful. That's before I moved out to Halifax. What social platform's easiest to follow you? Would you prefer to direct fans to your website, LisaRichardMusic.com, or are you more active on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube?
I'm definitely the most active, I would say, on Facebook. So that's Lisa Richard Music on Facebook. But I would say I'm almost just as active on Instagram. And that's also Lisa Richard Music on Instagram. I have a website as well. You're absolutely correct. LisaRichardMusic.com. I list my shows there that are coming up. There hasn't been much to list this past year. I was doing 50, 60 shows or more every year. And last year, I might have got to do 4. My very last show that I got to do was actually in Dublin, Ireland, just before COVID hit us here.
Oh, that's interesting.
While I was in Dublin and getting to sing, I was listening to the news and COVID was just starting to break in China. Right. So I was listening, but I kind of was half listening because I'm thinking, geez, that's quite far away. But within the week, then there was stories about it being in Italy and I was in Ireland. So I was like, okay, probably time to start moving on here. So I got back to Canada and it wasn't long after I got back in February and it hit here in March and here we are, right?
Yeah. Well, you have a live show coming up.
I have a Facebook Live show coming up. Yes. We've been trying to stay in touch with people on Facebook. So we've been putting out maybe one per month, a produced show, and we get sponsors to help us. So we really, really want to thank the sponsors that are helping us in the music industry stay in business and stay relevant. So sponsor for this show is Tim Hortons from Coal Harbor, and they're sponsoring the whole show, which is amazing. And we're going to be on Sunday night live for an hour. We're going to share some original music with some a few cover tunes as well that we like to do. And then I'm actually doing an in-person show at White Point Beach Resort in Nova Scotia. So finally in April. So April 9th and 10th. So there'll be still socially, distance rules in place. You'll still have to come in with your mask on. It's definitely a family show, at White Point Beach Resort, and they'll even give you free bags of bunny food to feed the bunnies outside. So it's quite the spot.
Definitely family it. Swan.
I love it.
That's love amazing. It. That's amazing. That's a great way to start back in the live scene.
Go feed the bunnies and sing to them too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really enjoy your music. You're a very, very talented artist, and I'm sure we haven't heard the last of you.
I would be happy to come and say hello again. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please share this episode with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from The Buzzer and upcoming shows, you can follow us on Instagram at The Buzzroll Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Catch you at the pod next episode, On Air Indie, from iPad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.